Hey, greetings, everybody. It is Brother Tupos. Today, I want to talk to you. I got a question for the title of my teaching. Do you dress for God or for flesh and pride? Do you dress for God or for flesh and pride? Yeah, this faith life, well, this is a true saying. We have to walk it out every day. We got to be on guard against our flesh, as our flesh is an enemy of us. It's an enemy that makes us an enemy of God. Romans 8, 6 and 7. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is at enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So we can't walk in the flesh, we got to walk in the spirit. And let me talk about this area of dress and the spirit, the truth, the commandments of God versus flesh, that would be pride. Remember the question in the morning: do you dress for God or do you dress for your flesh and for your pride? In the past, I've written and taught a lot about this. I'm one of the few people I know that actually teaches on biblical dress. It's important. It's in God's word. It's all over scripture. And so how godly saints, biblical saints dress, men and women, it matters. Go to the teaching blog at don'tperish.com. Look up the articles, Dress for Women, Dress for Men. I take you right to God's word. I show you the truth. How we dress directly shows our heart. Catch that? Dressing shows your heart. If you want to dress in flesh and pride, that shows your heart. If you want to dress in holiness and obedience, it shows your heart for God. Makes sense, doesn't it? You're going to be of God or you're going to be of the flesh. Which one? Pride and sin is going to lead you to nowhere, but walking in spirit and truth is going to be pleasing to God and shows that you're of Him. Now, no matter how or what culture says and what modern pastors say and how the churches ignore it, clothing matters to God. It's like I said, it's all over God's word. And guess what? This is the key right here. We're the temple of God if we claim to be born of Him. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? We are His temple, saints, if you're claiming to be born of Him. How dare we go and dress our temple like the fallen, carnal, wicked, pagan culture, as we claim the Holy Spirit's in us? We're bought with the blood of Jesus. How dare we arrogantly say to God, but I'll dress it the way I want? God has a standard for us. I'm going to show it to you. The Bible is very clear. The saints in the Bible and Jesus, saints of the New Testament body and Jesus, would be horrified to see what so-called Christians wear today. Ready? To work? To church? To go to the grocery store, to go to do their idolatrous exercising, and yeah, when they go to the beach, which they shouldn't go to. It's shameful. It's sinful. I have young men coming up to me in the streets and tell me, preacher, I got to look at the ground in church because all the young girls dress like harlots. And the pastors, the deacons, the elders, the moms, the dads, let it all happen. No excuse for it. God's word gives us a better example and gives us teaching and commandments. God definitely cares about dress, and I'm going to show you right here. So let's go to some foundational verses about God and His thoughts about dress versus biblical dress versus just a proud look. Let's go to Adam and Eve. They sin in the garden, and God, one of the first things, I think it's like the fourth thing He does, clothes them. Genesis 3:21. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. Coats of skins, tunics, long dresses. He shed blood, an archetype of Jesus, to put mankind in tunic-like robes and garments. And that never changed all through Scripture. By the way, Adam and Eve were alone in the world with no one else around them. God still clothed their bodies. Ponder that. God was setting a pattern for the future, for His future temple that would be our bodies. A shed blood of Jesus, an archetype, is that tunic or that robe that God Himself did. Christ the Creator did this, by the way. Ponder that too. Christ kills animals, sheds blood, covers us. Later, Christ sheds his blood to cover us. Beautiful archetype. So Genesis 3:21, God chose us how to dress, all the priests, all the prophets, they all wore and dressed that way. Jesus, the disciples, they all did it. Proverbs 6:16 and 17 tells us what God thinks about a proud look. These six things does the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. Verse 17, a proud look. So what does this tell us? If you do your hair, you put on makeup, you put on jewelry, men, you're getting tattoos, some of you are wearing makeup. People, saints, you're putting on clothes that shows off your body, makes you look good, makes you look desirable, fashionable. That's a proud look. You're an abomination to God. What did John the Baptist, the greatest man that ever lived, what did he say we should do? We should decrease so that Christ can increase. John 3:30. Fashion, pride, vanity, clothing of the world puffs you up. Biblical clothing covers you. It's sin covering. Clothing is a sin covering. It's not a fashion statement, folks. Biblical clothing makes you feel humble and lowers you. In 1 Timothy and in 1 Peter 3, both of those disciples taught us to dress in a long, loose garment and unadorned. That's a pattern for women. That's a pattern for men all through the Bible. Long, loose robes for women, tunics for men, no adorning, shining yourself, making yourself like a peacock, more attractive to other people. You're not supposed to be doing that. You're the temple of the Holy Spirit. You're supposed to dress according to what God has ordained. And then Jesus goes on and teaches us to obey everything he commanded, Matthew 28:20. And it tells us later on in the book of Revelation, chapter 7, verse 8, that we get a robe of righteousness. Robes, tunics, unadorned garments, what God ordained, not fashion and pride that's of the culture. We're to come out of the culture. Paul says, don't conform to the culture, Romans 12. So the Bible is very clear. It's all through the scriptures, Old Testament, New Testament, long, loose dresses and tunics, also head coverings for women, unadorned clothing. It's the standard from Adam and Eve all the way to the end of times when Christ comes back. And here's a thought you need to ponder. Christ tells us to love God with all that we are, heart, soul, mind, and strength, Matthew 22. And in the Sermon on the Mount, Christ told us to be humble, lowly, and meek. Think of that. And Christ in John 17, I'm telling you what Jesus thinks about all this. He said, we're not of the world, his people, twice in John 17. And I think I quoted this already. Paul said, we don't conform to the world around us, Romans 12. 1 and 2, we be a living sacrifice. That's the word of God and the word of Christ right there. If we're like the world, what are we? James 4:4. If we're fond of the ways of the world, that word friendship, James 4:4, if you're a friend of the world, you're an enemy of God. That word friendship means if you're fond of. If you're fond of the fashion of the world, you're an enemy of God. You're not obeying God. You're not dressing your temple the way God ordained it. You can study all you want. You can mock. You can laugh at these doctrines. Now, one Bible verse is going to tell you to dress up in pride and vanity, to wear makeup, to put on jewelry, for ladies to show their hair off, for men to get tattoos, showing their muscles off. No, not one Bible verse. It tells us to dress in a biblical, godly fashion. Churchianity and the modern pastors, they're all going to lie about it. They're all full of pride and vanity. So much so, I'm appalled. I see pastors having their wives dressed in pride and vanity and makeup, saying how hot their wives are, saying how attractive their wives are. Yet, beauty of a woman comes from the inside. And only a harlot shows off her body and paints her eyes like these men's wives do. It's not appropriate. It is not of God. So, I want you to ponder this and admit the churches, look around, like the culture, are awash in pride, vanity, cultural fashion, harlot-like dress. They are. How can this be with people that claim to be of Christ. 1 Peter 1:15 says, be holy for God is holy. How can we dress our temple like the fallen world? I got people walking around when I witness to them claiming to be of Christ, and they got the Nike logos on them, which is a goddess logo. How can we be doing this to the holy temple of God? We can't if we truly are of God. Most of them are false converts. So again, clothing is sin covering, not a fashion statement. It's God's temple bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. How are we going to dress it? His way in holiness or your way in pride and vanity and cultural fashion? I'm going to tell the truth on dress, and I'm going to tell you what God's word says. God's word says to come out of the world in all your ways, whether it's about money, time, your jobs, your association, your practices, your theology, even your dress. Come out and obey Christ. Hebrews 5:9, Christ made the way for those who obey him. Churchianity is not going to teach you this truth. It empties buildings. They want to scratch itchy ears of the people in the pews. We see it all the time on their websites. Come dressed any way you want. Be comfortable. That is not what God's word says for his holy saints. The truth of God empties buildings, but pride, vanity, and fashion shows fill up buildings. And really, they're the places of false convert and goats, not sheeps, the sheep of God, not places for the sheep of God. So these points I'm trying to make, I hope they kind of wake you up. Most people that claim Jesus wake up in the morning and they put on not what is biblical. No, they put on, ready, what's pleasing to their eye, what's fashionable, what's culturally acceptable, what makes them feel good about themselves, tattoos, makeup, jewelry, doing their hair, adorned clothing, tight clothing, fashion clothing, showing their body off. What makes them feel good? That causes others to look and lust, by the way. What pleases people around them? Spouses wear what their partners like, whether it's sexual or lascivious. Great carnality in all of this, not holiness, not God's ways. This is Satan's culture's way. This is the flesh's way. Remember, you can't please God in the flesh, Romans 8:8. We should be separate. We should be obeying God. We should be obeying biblical dress. Let me give you a testimony about me and my house. I was a bodybuilder for years before I knew Christ, full of pride, looking in mirrors, showing off my body every day when I got up to dress up. I used to wear clothing to show my body off. So did my wife, she will admit, before she was born of Christ. Before we were born of Christ. Once we learned of God's word and we learned of holiness and we learned of Christ dying for us and we learned that we're his temple and we learned that he owns us, we began to obey all things. Why? Because we're working our way to heaven? No. Because we love God. His spirit's in us. It's guiding us. We want to please him. John says it's pleasing for his children to walk in the truth. And here's what Romans 6:17 says. But God be thanked that ye were servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. Did you know doctrine saves you? Go read 1 Timothy 4:16. Sound doctrine saves you. Yeah. So we need to go all the way back from Genesis 3:21, when God covered us by shedding the blood of animals in long, loose garments. And again, I need to remind you, newsflash to everybody listening, you heard me say it earlier, clothing is sin covering. It is not to be a fashion statement. We shouldn't be adorning our body with logos and pictures and words. We should be dressing our temple the way God ordained it from Genesis 3 all the way through history. You need to wake up to that fact because you're in sin against a holy God as you live against his word and his ways if you claim his name. So I just want to remind everybody about dress. We need to be living up to God's standards. We need to lower ourselves. We need to kill the pride, kill the flesh. By doing this, we exalt Christ. We lift him up. We're obeying him. How we talk, how we live, how we act, how we spend our money, how we spend our time. Yes, how we dress. It's a huge representation of who you are. Your dress is coming right from your heart. A woman dresses like a harlot, it's from her heart. A man shows off his muscles, it's from his heart. Just like a person dressing in biblical holiness, it's from a new, transformed heart. Go read Proverbs 6:17. You're an abomination to God as you live in pride and vanity. That should wake you up. Sodomy is an abomination of God. So is your proud look, American churchianity people. So there's no better time than today to tell you this. God's people are to dress different. Today, when we go out and stand outside churches, we see all of them following cultural dress, fashion, pride, vanity, harlotry, lasciviousness, not scripture, and not holiness. What does John say? 1 John 2:15-16. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. But if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, it's not of the Father, but is of the world. Dress is part of that. Cultural dress is part of that. Putting on fashion, adorning your clothes, form-fitting clothes, I'll say it again, using makeup, hairstyles, dyeing your hair, jewelry, getting tattoos, showing yourselves off, it is great sin and ungodliness before the one who shed his blood for us. It's not of God. It's of your flesh. It's sin. It's of Satan. It's of his kingdom, this culture. Go read 2 Corinthians 4:4. Satan is the god of this world. Who's dressing you? Satan? Your flesh, or God's word. Jesus said this in Matthew 12:34. O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. I got a teaching coming that explores other areas that's from our heart. Out of your heart comes words. Out of your heart comes action. Out of your heart comes dress. I'm telling you, from your heart, you will dress yourself biblically or sensually, sinfully, lasciviously. So ask yourself, in the morning, when you get up, first thing out of bed, you dressing up for God, obeying him, if you claim his name? Or are you dressing in flesh? Are you dressing in pride? Are you meeting the cultural standards? You want people to look at you and say you look good? Or do you want people to see Christ in you and say, how come you're different? That happens to us all the time. People see us and they say, how come you're different? And we get to preach the gospel. If we dressed and lived and acted like the world, nobody would notice we're different. We're salt, we're light, we're different than the world. We're not better than them, but we are different because of Christ working in us. So I want you to ponder that for this teaching. Does your morning start out obediently, humbly, in meekness, obeying Christ, or are you putting on pride and vanity that God calls an abomination? Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments, John 14:15. Or the opposite is pride, idolatry, dressing to be desired, lifting yourself up rather than lifting up Christ. He shed his blood. He made a way for us. He purchased us. We are not our own. I think it's a true saying, Christ is worthy for us to change everything about our lives, even our clothing. And we're amazed, as we do ministry for many years now, how people that claim Christ will fight, we call it the hill they die on, over some cloth. Could be cloth on a woman's head, could be some cloth on their body. They fight to hold on to their sin, their pride, their vanity, but they don't consider what Christ did, beaten, battered, bloodied, bruised for them. They need to ponder that. Most of them are false converts, and we hope that teachings like this will get you to see your need, get you to submit, get you to repent. It's shameful, really, if you don't. So I encourage you, repent of all of that. Get rid of the pride that's ruling your dress, that's ruling your heart. If you have dress issues in your heart, I promise you there's much more sin there as well. I did. Oh, yeah. There was a lot of sin there that had to be rooted out. I'm no better than you. My wife's sister Amma is no better than you. Saints we know are no better than you, but we are different. We've rooted out our sin and dress as one area that we obey. We try to obey in all areas because it's a sign that we are born of this Savior. Transformed in the heart, then everything transformed outward as well. Repent to the biblical gospel. Check it out at don'tperish.com. The shed blood of Jesus, repentance to him. Come out of the world, the culture and churchianity. That includes cultural dress. Be born again by the Spirit of God. Every day obey in holiness and obedience. Dress your temple to please God and endure to the end. What does Romans 6:16 say? You sin unto death, or you obey unto righteousness. Which one are you doing? Today we're talking about dress. Our website teaches about hundreds of topics. Today is just another day to teach about dress. Check out the articles at the teaching blog, Dress for Women, Dress for Men. How we dress is just another piece of obeying as fruit that we know Christ. It proves that we're of this glorious God who's given us this blood covenant that we must walk in every day, every week, every month, every year, enduring to the end. And again, he is so worthy. Don't let some cloth keep you from obeying Christ, coming out of your pride, conforming to this glorious Savior. Love you all. Test yourself at don'tperish.com. Hope that blesses you. Test everything I've said. Men, send me an email if I've got this wrong. If we don't dress the way God's word says we should dress, how are we going to dress? Like the culture? Like your flesh? Like pride? Like Satan's kingdom? No. I'm going with God's word. I hope you will too. Love y'all. Till next time, seek the kingdom, and may God be praised.